Good morning, Patriots, and it's Monday, April 5th. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I think in the terms of money, it's fairly easy for us to conceive of what that is. That's a bank account number. It's a 401k amount. It's a salary amount. It's a stack of silver in your safer drawer. It's the cash in your wallet. But money's more than just a thing like that. Money's a concept of power. It's a concept of need. And it's a concept of accumulation that gives us a currency to deal with. And it can be the biggest trap, I would say is the biggest trap that we all face. Let's just begin with just the idea of a bank account. It's fairly easy, like I say, to conceive, because in the bank account, you can look at the ledger and you can say, I can afford to give this and still have enough for what I need. And that's part of the trap, because as we see in Matthew 6:31-33, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I would argue that there are few, if any, that are comfortable saying that I will just give away all that's in my bank account and I'll be okay at the end of the month. There is a certain place there that we all hesitate, even though God tells us constantly that if we give, and that is our principal give, don't worry, all will be provided. Some of that is the limits of where we currently walk in our faith. It's not a criticism. It's simply a reality that we're trying to let go of a one system that's telling us if you don't have enough to pay your rent, you'll be evicted. You won't have food because everything is transactioned on a material thing. And God is telling us, have no worries. Don't want for anything, for I will provide. Two worlds, two different approaches. But it's that same sort of level of concern for scarcity that approaches us on other levels. Take influence, for example. We worry about people taking an injection. We worry about the number of people that we influence or don't influence. And so we tend to covet or hoard the opportunities to build a bank account of influence. We want to build our networks out. We want them to get bigger. And in a very certain sense, what we're doing is we're building a level of accumulation, very much like money. The currency of influence is no different. It drives us. It controls us. And in so doing, we lose touch with the whole principle of the path God has us on. Money's a metaphor on so many levels, and it is a powerful agent in our world. We work for hours in our lives to receive a piece of paper that translates our good works, our passions, our creations, gets translated into a piece of paper. And we want to see that piece of paper grow because we know and feel that what we put in has a value. In the world that we live, that value is given by man in exchange for things. Now, it's difficult to imagine a world without some sort of currency exchange. And so, in fact, arguably, whether you realize this or not, the entire pretext of everything that Karl Marx ever wrote was built on a concept called historical materialism. And as controversial as it is for some, there is, and I will tell you, for theologians and faith-based, they reject this completely. And yet I can tell you, having studied it, there is great wisdom in what he wrote in this, because essentially what Marx has said is that all relationships in man's world are based on a form of material exchange. So this is where money becomes a commodified relationship. And it gets very distorted and it's very dark when we get into these places. There's exchanges that happen all over. People go to church very often to get something in exchange. It's not just about worship of the God. They want to go to feel good. They want to go to get something. And in the process, the exchange often is translated to the offering plate and what they get in return. Now, this gets very convoluted because there is this place of giving, which is important. We have to be of a world of giving, but it all comes back to where our heart sits. What's your intention and motives? Back to that bank account. When I look at that bank account, am I accumulating the bank account to gain influence and power, or am I having the bank account of just what I need and taking and being trusting in God and helping others with the excess that I have? In the center of power and money, those things accumulate together, like I say, to create a very toxic mix. And it defines much of the relationships and expectations that we have. If I willfully give to something because I choose, I have no attachment, hopefully, to what I give. Too often, however, when people give, they have an expectation of something in return. The way of gifting through God is to give of ourselves, forget the money, just to give of ourselves, whatever form that takes, selflessly. If a person gives with expectations, and expectations can also be weighted down by the concerns of saving a world, for example, the concerns of saving a community, the concerns of saving a family, those are not our roles. Those expectations in which we give are ours. They're not God's. God places us in each place that we're in with the opportunity to give selflessly, and he has told us in return he will give us all that we need. And in giving us all that we need, we then have the opportunity to grow. Luke 16:11, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? As we accumulate power and influence, as we accumulate, and that's a form of money, it's a form of communication, as many as we accumulate these bank accounts in our lives, and there are many, we have a duty to steward them in a way of selflessness. And as long as we're living in that place, We are living by God's laws. No one says to be poor. No one says to dump everything you have. There's a great story. I snickered because there's a great story. And it was one of those fiction, nonfiction type stories, meaning it was based on a true experience. But names were changed. And it happened to do with a Southern church, a Southern black church, in fact, where a young white man comes in and listens to the pastor and is so moved by what he hears, he empties his pockets and he even throws the keys to his car in the offering plate and walks out and singing, "Hallelujah, I'm freed." Except he had no ride home and he had no way to get to his job anymore. So the pastor gave him his keys back, by the way. Counseled him a bit to remind him that these are good motives, but there's a practicality to giving as well. We still have to steward our own lives. The motivation was great. The heart was in the right place, but there is a transition to all things. The place of money, the place of accumulation is where we're all focused here today. It's the power of things that we amass, be it the physical, or be it the influential, or be it the spiritual. Each of us builds bank accounts. Each of us builds these accumulations. And each of us, in one way or another, and we all do it, all of us, cling on to them and seek to grow them. The question that we have to ask constantly is it us who seeks to grow them, or is it God who's guiding us to grow them, and how? That's the question. Because God has said he will provide. So question for each person is, when is enough enough? If we satisfy ourselves with what we have now, and we steward what we have well, what does wealth look like? When does more become necessary? And what point does a lot become too much? These are metaphorical, these are hypothetical questions not to be answered with rigid yes or no's, but they're reflection points in everything that we do. And it all centers on a principal issue of us giving. Giving from our hearts with the intention of God, helping our neighbors in need, loving our neighbors as we would want to be loved, and giving voice to those that have no voice. Those are the principal pillars of what we're doing. And there are times that even then that we will find ourselves needing to give, even when we don't feel that we have enough to give, and yet we must if we're called to do that, because that is where God steps in and says, I will take care of all your needs. The truest part of all of this is to have the alignment with God to trust in him and to not be obsessed with the accumulation and greed that it comes with all of these things around us. We're influenced by a world based on accumulation. That is a principal foundation of this inverted world in which we live. Everything is built on accumulation. Some things are wise in stewardship. If we're building masses of grain to be able to help and share with our neighborhood or with our friends and family, because we are for the sake of a possible food shortage at some point, that is an accumulation based on a wisdom to give. If we're hoarding years of food in our basement with no intention to share, but just to make sure that we will be preserved in spite of everybody else, now we're talking about greed and accumulation. The principal issue that I said earlier and why it's important is when we read in Scripture, we talk about money. Money becomes a specific thing. But money isn't just a specific thing. It's not just a coin. It's not just an item. It's also a metaphor. And it's also a relationship in which we have to the things that give us power and the things that we tend to want to hoard and save. Our relationships should not be built on a commodified exchange. Our relationships should not be built on the level of expectations that get something in return. We should not be attending faith services or church because we want to get something from it, but instead to be guided to learn and to expand our hearts to share that word outward. We're in a place right now in a world where everything we know is so upside down. Everything around us is turned and twisted. And in the end, it all centers back on a simple word, which you've heard me say so many times: accountability. There is no easy, straight path for us to walk. And there isn't an easy answer to every step that we make. But if we live in that place of accountability and accountability to God, it gives us the guidance like a compass when you're walking on a terrain. The compass doesn't lead you to the outcome, to the destination you want. It guides you so that as you read the terrain, you understand where you're going and what direction you're on. Accountability. So as we work in that world of accountability, we walk in a place where the accumulation of what we put out here and what we gain in this world, the wealth that we're given, should always be centered on the relationships and expectations that God has for us. When we start to grow whatever we have, there has to be a reasonableness to how big we grow. And we have to ask ourselves what we can steward and what God would expect us to steward. The question I ask, and it's one I throw out, and it's to myself that I'll share it here. At what point in wealth, going back to money, is enough enough? When is enough sufficient? I actually did this exercise. And I went through and I totaled up the debts I had. I totaled up the amount I would want in hard assets. I took away, I've mentioned before, I don't invest in the stock market. Never will. And that's a philosophical reasons for that. And I looked at what I would need to sustain myself without debt, without dependence on anything Social Security, because I don't believe it'll be there. And taking a responsibility for certain aspects of my life, like maintaining my house, making sure there was no debt on that house, building an environment in that house that was as self-sufficient as possible, adding in certain things and objectives, and including in that work that I would be able to do until I could work no more. So it was an exercise in looking at living a debt-free life, which is the path I'm on, and what I could do and what that amount was that I would need, not to live lavishly, but to be comfortable to where with those other aspects of my life, I could get by okay. It wasn't that much, surprisingly. And it struck me then at that point, when is enough enough, and what is the desire for us to accumulate? In this world, we hear all the time the stature of people with, and we hear it in so many different forms. I have this much money in the bank. This person is worth X amount of dollars. I have this much in my 401k. We take in another commodity form. I have these many followers on my social media, because followers, whether you realize it or not, is a currency. In social media terms, an account that has 1 million followers, that translates to a currency. It's an exchange of what that value is for each person, because each person represents a potential sale, and each sale represents a potential revenue stream for the account owner. Bet you that feels pretty good, knowing that when you're over there hanging out on YouTube where they sell your data, every account that you're on that you joined, you're just a part of their bank account. You just got demoted today. You're not God's children. You're a ledger number, which is part of this world we live in. Joking, of course. But not joking in the sense of YouTube. Our accountability to how we handle all those things is the ultimate test. And our ability to manage those with a giving heart and to avoid the tendencies towards greed and accumulation is critical. Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, for moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that pretty much sums it up. Is wherever we identify where our treasure is, which is our wealth and our accumulation, is where our heart rests. If our focus, in the end, is on accumulation, on amassing big bank accounts of whatever form they take, our heart sits there. Our heart does not sit with God. God will guide us in all things. God takes us to where we need to be. In spite of all of the influence that Christ had in his time, the focus always centers around the disciples, which were few by comparison to the many. In that sense, Christ's bank account of influence could be argued was very small. His circle was very small. But it was those around him that changed and transformed the world, along with all that he did. It's not about numbers. It's not about the size of the account. It's not about the amounts of wealth that we accumulate. It's not about the money that we have. It's where our heart is. And when our heart is with God and our heart sits there and we live purely and we are pure to God in our intentions of what we want, everything will be provided. And in due course, God will provide all that we need. We just have to have the patience. To live that way. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves in a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let us take hold of a life that is truly life. Let us not be tripped up by ourselves in misconstruing our accumulations or our wealth. Let us help one another. Let us treat our neighbor as we wish to be treated. Let us give voice to those that have no voice. Let us be pure in our relationships and come to things as God intends and step aside the greed that we all have. Expectations are a trap. Accountability is our freedom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this time in which we live, the times that we come together. We thank you for the blessings you give. Lord, we pray this morning for the clarity as we walk in this world, to avoid the traps of accumulation, the traps of greed, and it's greed of the heart, to trust in you fully, to guide us, to be satisfied with what we have before us, to be stewards of what you give in great ways, and to give of our hearts, to be accountable with each of our steps, and in so doing, find our way through this maze of deceit and lies and inversions to continue to grow closer to you and in so doing, grow your kingdom through the love and giving through all things and each breath that we take. We say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It is an important time for us to transform the relationships that are around us that are so much built on accumulation. Works with our faith changes the world. And as we demonstrate a way of living that doesn't leave us impoverished, but in rather fulfills us and enriches us through the acts of selfless giving, we show a world a way of living that is not based on a commodified exchange, but rather an exchange of love. We don't give love with the expectation of being loved back. We give love with the hope that it will touch somebody's heart in a way that they can pay that forward. And therein lies one of the greatest gifts God has given us. The ability to shape our world not by the interest that we gain from what we extend out, not by the numbers in our bank account of what we have, but rather in the pure connection of giving and trusting in Him, because through Him, all things are given and all opportunities presented. Let us steward those opportunities well and be accountable to Him in all that we do. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Keep your prayers focused on all that is before us. There are many mazes and traps yet to be discovered. In a world of inversion, it's a never-ceasing war to see clearly. But if we keep each step in our prayers with accountability to Him, accountability to God, living through the body of Christ, our way becomes much easier. God will never forsake us. He will always be with us. And in the end, God will always win. I'll be back in 20 minutes or so for the top of the hour for Federalist Paper number 49 today. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. Shadow.